Well, over the last 4 weeks, we have focused on letting our burdens be for various groups. We have focused on our burden being for those that are angry, and there's a lot of anger out there, for those that are bereaved in our own family of faith or beyond, for those that are lost, spiritually lost, in need of a Savior, or for the lonely. We all go through lonely experiences in our lives, and it's so important for us to cultivate a burden for all of those moments and those places that we find either ourselves or others within. And so I thought it important today to let our burden be, not so much for others, but today for ourselves, because so many of us are fighting difficult battles in our lives. Amen? Yes, we are. I think of a whiz kid mom who a few weeks back, following our Welcome Wednesday dinner, she stayed for that, and she had all of her children gathered around her. There must have been three, perhaps four, and she found herself without transportation to go back home to the other side of Newport. And this is when it was still cold in the evenings, and it was raining that particular evening, and she had no heavy jacket, really, per se. And when I asked her about transportation, she said, "Oh, my live-in boyfriend has taken the huff with me. I've done something wrong. He's upset with me, and so he's refused to come and pick me up from church tonight." And I just couldn't face the prospect of her walking that distance with all those children. So I took her home. I'm thinking of someone who works very faithfully around our church, week in, week out, who has just learned that he has a member of his family, 10 months old, who has just been diagnosed with leukemia, 10 months old. People are fighting hard, tough battles. Yeah, I'm thinking of a man who lost his wife over a year ago, who is struggling to find his purpose in life over again. And so if you were to consider that the majority of an iceberg floats underneath the water, and that we only see the small tip of it, usually when we hear the stories of others, we are only hearing the tip of the iceberg of their lives. And there's a whole lot more that's going on underneath the waters of life, all of the struggles. And so that's why I felt it necessary for us to consider what it means to let our burden be for ourselves. Not in a self-pitying kind of way, but in a way that helps us to understand that God sees what's going on below the surface of our lives as much as God sees what's going on above the surface. The time leading up to Good Friday and Easter, and it's soon upon us, is typically a time for self-reflection and personal evaluation, not so much psychologically, but in terms of our relationship with God. So how did you do? Over the last 6 weeks, have we moved closer to God as we come to all of the events of Holy Week? Have we changed our lives in any way that allows us to lay our burdens down for Him? He calls to us, lay your burdens down at the foot of the cross. Because that is the theme of all three passages of Scripture for today. Each of these Scriptures asks us to consider our worries, our cares, the things that weigh us down and keep us up at night. But notice that Scripture shares exhortations with us that were originally, when the texts were penned, they were given to ancient peoples. You see, we cannot claim that our lives are any busier or any more stressful than people who lived during ancient times. I know we like to think otherwise. One of the chief complaints that I hear from people repeatedly, not from any of you, of course, is that, you know what? I don't have time for worship. Yeah? I'm too overworked, I'm too anxious, I'm too worried about life. You know, well, thousands of years ago, people were anxious and worried and overburdened about life as well, too. I've got too many other things going on, we like to say. I'd really, really like to go to worship, but you know what? I'm too tired. I'm too exhausted. I'm too stressed, or I'm too retired or overcommitted to be there. And that excuse no longer holds water because everybody today can say the same thing, yeah? And so our postmodern frenetic lifestyle has reduced worshiping the living God to just one more thing to do, or just one more thing that we feel like we've got to cram in there into our lives. To those folks, I say, sadly, you're missing the point of what worship is about altogether and what it's supposed to do for you. When you come here, when I come here to worship, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Thank you, Janet. I appreciate that. Yes, I had one person acknowledging, yes, it's worship. When you come here, what do you get out of it? When you come here, does God meet with you, or are you just sitting alone in all your worrisome thoughts, you know? No different from when you arrive to when you leave. So here's how I like to look at it. I don't like to participate in anything, especially not faith, where I don't get something out of it, you know? And as far as faith goes, I'm coming looking for a blessing. I'm coming looking for something to change in my life, some load to be lifted, some transformation to happen. If I'm just checking a box out of some sense of religious obligation or duty, then that commitment, because I've been down this road before, my friends, it will just kind of pass out of my life. Yeah? But we come seeking the promises of God. Are these just promises like campaign promises? These are promises that are good, that are true, that are life-giving, something that will lift us up, give us hope, and lighten our loads. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says, for it's easy. It's light. When did we ever turn faith in Christ Jesus into something that was heavy and burdensome and onerous upon ourselves? If I leave worship more worried and stressed than I walked in, I'd venture to say I have not met with the living God. I haven't met with a living God, you know. And so when we meet with God, something has to happen in our lives that cannot happen anywhere else. The first thing that happens here is that we embrace the ideas that we all must have a sacred space in our lives to let our worry and anxiety go. You know? Do you know that worry and anxiety are the opposite of faith? You knew that, didn't you? Yeah, worry and anxiety are the opposite of having faith. That's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 28. Listen to that verse. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully as he's doing at this time of the year, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, how much more will God do for you? Let me say that again. How much more will God do for you? Listen to those words. In her new book, The Super Stress Solution, and I like all the alliteration there that's contained in that title as a pastor, The Super Stress Solution, Dr. Roberta Lee devotes a section to the topic of spirituality and prayer. Absolutely fascinating. And she says, research shows that people who are more religious or spiritual use their spirituality to cope with life, and that's okay. They're better able to cope with stress, they heal faster from illness, and they experience increased benefits to their health and well-being. Among the research she cites is one study of approximately 126,000 people. That is a large study group, my friends. 126,000 people that found that people who frequently attended services increased their odds of living by 29%. Forget it. It's not the face cream. You know, it's not all those other things that we do to try and extend our lives forward into the future. It's attending worship. You get a 29% greater increase in your life's longevity if you show up here to worship the true and living God. Can I get an amen? Yes? Dr. Lee points to the research of Harold Koenig, MD, Associate Professor of Medicine and Psychiatry at Duke University. That's a mouthful. And he surveys more than 1,000 studies appraising the effects of prayer on health in his book, Handbook of Religion and Health. Among them, here are some of the results that he finds. Hospitalized people who never attended church have an average stay of 3 times longer than those who do go to church. 3 times longer in the hospital. That's what he found out. Heart patients were 14 times more likely to die following surgery if they didn't practice their faith. Everyone listening to me this morning, yes, even by home, elderly people who never or rarely attended church had a stroke rate double that of people who did. Oh, I'm liking this. People who are more religious tend to become, I am, you know. I'm feeling healthy just preaching all of this, you know. People who are more religious tend to become depressed less often. And when they do become depressed, they recover more quickly. Can you argue with that? You know, and these are, you know, very renowned university professors studying these kinds of things. How much more will God do for you? We're in the crazy underscored political season, aren't we? Oh, yeah. And it's standard fare, you know, that just to get elected, all candidates, and I've got all in capital letters here in my manuscript this morning. All candidates overpromise, don't they? No, they don't overpromise. All candidates overpromise, my friend. They are going to give you free education. Oh, yes. They're going to be giving you free food. All of your taxes are going to disappear. All the pesky immigrants, they're going to go away. Poverty is going to be erased. Blah, 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 blah. Trust me, one thing that I know to be true about the political campaign season is that as soon as the next man or woman is sworn in on the steps of the Capitol as the next president, all those pie-in-the-sky promises that were given to you and I, they just go poof. Oh, I was misquoted. I didn't mean to say that. Oh, there's a future study out there that corrects what I said previously. You know how it works, yeah? You know, I think they just must think that the American public are, you know, that we're stupid, you know? But there is one, my friends. And he never ran for office because he was given his office from his Father, from heaven above, you know? There weren't votes to elect a Savior. He has been crowned and coronated the King of the universe and the Lord of our lives. There is one who made promises to us, and His promises never go poof. Seek first His kingdom. That's what our lives are to be about. All of our other commitments that repeatedly push faith out, they actually add to the worry. You know, all those things are secondary. All of our worries, they don't come first. You know, they come second. Amen. Seek first His kingdom. And then all of these things that the Gentiles or those beyond Israel, all of the people, the nations and the people groups beyond Israel, all of those things that they strive after, all of the things that humans strive for, then those things will be added to you and I after we first seek His kingdom. God is not so cruel or cold-hearted that he won't provide for your needs in life. It may not be the way that we want it to be provided. You know, there's an Old Testament scripture that says, I have never seen the righteous go hungry, nor their seed begging for bread. Yeah? He'll provide for us. But the secret is, here's the secret. We've got to put him first. Can I get an amen? We've got to put him first, you know? Didn't he put you first when he went to the cross? Didn't he? You know, he even had a heart-to-heart talk with his father. Do I really have to do this? You know, I'd rather be lounging around somewhere in Jerusalem, Heavenly Father, drinking my wine and eating my bread. And the father said, no, this is what I want you to do. He put us first in going to the cross. Didn't he put you and I first when his father raised him from the dead? Yes. Over and over again, the scriptures are clear. Jesus cares about you. My heart breaks when I see people that have no one who cares for them. But Jesus cares for them. Let your burden be for yourself. Yes, but understand this. Give him everything in your life that makes your life less than what it could be. Yeah? Most of us don't get this. We think that the role of God is all about giving us stuff, and he will. He will give us the things that will provide for us. But every day, heaven cries out, give me, God cries out, give to me everything that's wearing you down. Give to me all of those places where you feel the boot on your neck. Give to me all of those things that keep you up worrying at night, pacing the floor, going into the kitchen at 3 a.m., unable to... Give me all those things. I want them, he cries from the cross. Your marital issues, your employment concerns, your financial concerns, your health issues, give them all to me. When I was a child, my parents, because they were good parents, and I'm sure that your parents were good parents too. My parents taught me, don't throw things. Don't throw things. That's a no-no. Don't throw things. But 1 Peter tells me that it's okay to throw things at Jesus. It's okay. Lord, I'm tossing this one your way. Go ahead. Throw something at him that you've been holding on to that you really need to release and let go. Jesus is the best catcher in the league, my friends. What does everyone in this overstressed breakneck culture want? Well, they want to go to Sandals Resort, of course. Yes, we all want to go, you know, lie on those long beds beside the cool waters where the fountains are bubbling and the sand on the beach is white. We all want to go there. Well, yes and no, but we all want rest. And so this biblical truth emerges. The more that you hang on, the more that you hang on, the less rest that you're going to have. Let it go. Let it go. Let all those things that wind you up and just kind of set your life into a tailspin, come on, let it go. Jesus, in a sense, he makes fun of us. He says, you know what? He says, you can't even add an inch to your height even if you wanted to. So why not lay your burdens down? If you can't even do that, what are y'all worried about? Lay it down. All of you, take my yoke and learn from me, our Lord says, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen.